Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go.
Wait a minute. What just happened? That wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah! Not afraid to fuck it up right here on All Marine Radio. See, this is, I run this show the way I run, the way I lead other people. Right? When I fuck it up, what do I do? Unfuck it.
Time to rock.
Oh, what are we going to do? Sit here and, like, discuss it and commiserate about it? No! Unfuck yourself, bro! Keep going!
Don't hang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late! It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
On the west coast of America, joining me from the center of the country, where it's going to be in the 50s today, is the one and only Paul Kimball Holmes. But he goes by Kim, because his dad was Paul.
Yes.
And he doesn't go by Kimball, because that was a guy...
Well, I did some places.
That was the guy's name on TV, right?
Yeah.
Who was the guy... Richard Kimball. Who was that?
The Fugitive.
Ooh, how about that? Exactly. So if I can remember who the fuck Richard Kimball was, and I didn't even understand The Fugitive because I was a little guy, right? Because Corporal Punishment, yep. Kathleen was watching that shit. Now, somehow or other, I'm going to, like, get over and forget about bad shit that happened to me. Come on, man. Come on, man. Anyway.
You've been there, done that.
Exactly. So, how's your day going? How's your week been? What's going on? What's shaking in North Dakota?
Week's going okay. It's getting better. I'm feeling better. Calming down from my surgery and going to cardio rehab and feeling better.
Well, that's good. That's good because when you feel, okay, so here's what I want you to do. Close your eyes, okay, right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so whenever you feel like doing stupid stuff, okay, here's what I want you to think of. The Grim Reaper, okay? Stupid Grim Reaper, stupid Grim Reaper, stupid Grim Reaper. Okay, now, have we made that association in your head now?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we're going to stay away from that. I may be coming up to visit you.
Hot damn, I was hoping you'd say that.
November 2nd. The university formerly known as the Fighting Sioux play Michigan Tech on a Saturday night, and I speak in D.C. on Thursday, and I speak in Mankato on Monday. Really no sense for me flying home on Friday and then flying back up to, Minneapolis on Sunday. So I thought maybe I'd just come over, land in Minneapolis on Friday, drive up to North Dakota, have dinner with you and Miss B, and hang out for a couple days, and then drive down to Mankato.
That would be fabulous. We would love it.
All right.
So, are you going to be staying with us?
I don't know. You don't have any extra rooms, man.
I got a couch.
Oh, look, I don't do couches, man.
You're big time now.
You've
been there and done that couch thing with us.
Unless you're really hot, man. If you're not really hot, then I'm not sleeping on your couch.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter wherever you sleep. I'll give you a key to the condo. And you can come and go as you please.
Ooh. The key to the condo, baby.
Yep.
The elite brownstones is what they're called. You're getting what?
We're getting a new roof as we speak.
Why? That thing ain't that old, man. How many years have you lived down there?
It's 12 years old, but the people that installed the the roof, the first one.
Yeah.
Fucked it up.
No.
And did a bullshit job, and we've been trying to get it square for 12 years. And so we finally just said, to hell with you. We'll put a new roof on. And so we went to Minneapolis and got a super dude who married a girl from Grand Forks. And he used to come into Sanders all the time. It's going to be great.
So he's going to put a new roof on when, next summer?
No, right now. They're working on my section of the roof. They're, I hear them thumping around up there. Yeah, no, they're doing it. It'll be finished by the time you get here. Actually, next week they'll finish up.
Yeah, I was going to say, they better kick that shit in the ass, man.
There's no flies, baby. Comes into vision, into view.
Hold on, I've got an email. Blah, 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 blah. Mac, please ask Kim what his favorite big game is and how he prepares it.
Oh, without a doubt, it's elk.
And
I love elk.
How do you prepare it?
You dress it like the last time I had elk, I had elk liver.
Ugh.
And I took the liver and I soaked it overnight, almost 24 hours in buttermilk to take any gaminess out. And then sliced it up and had, liver and onions. Oh, just to die for.
Come on.
But with regular elk, you treat it like you would any other meat. You whatever cut it is, you can grill it, you can roast it, put it in stews, put it in your, chop it up and put it in your crock pot. It's lean, tender, very good for you. It's like eating buffalo, very healthy meat. You just, if you're going to do a steak or a roast, you don't want to overcook it unless you're going to put it in the crock pot or, make a stew in your Dutch oven. It's best served medium rare for me.
For you. Diane Carroll passed away. Diane Carroll, 84 years old.
Yeah. And
we all met her in the, most of us met her. I did anyway.
Yeah.
In, what was the show? Julia?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Not sure.
Diane, and it was a sitcom called Julia.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful woman. She passed away. Okay. Yeah, she passed away today. Diane Carroll.
Seemed like a bird.
Oh. She, let's see. Well, this is a tear. That's the show. Let's read about her. An American actress, singer, and model rose to stardom in performances in some of the earliest major studio films to feature black casts, including Carmen Jones, 1954, Porgy and Bess in 1959, and in 1962 she won a Tony Award for Best Actress, a first for a black woman, for her role in the Broadway musical No Strings. In her 1968 debut in the sitcom Julia, the first TV series on American television to star a black woman in a non-stereotypical role, was a milestone both in her career and for the medium. In the 1980s, she played the role of a mixed-race diva in the primetime soap opera Dynasty. She was born in the Bronx, New York. Yeah, her parents were from North and South Carolina. Her family moved to Harlem, where she grew up. She attended the Music and Art High School and was a classmate of Billy D. Williams. She recalled, in many interviews, she recalled the support of her parents enrolling her in dance, singing, and modeling classes. By the time she was 15, she was modeling for Ebony. She attended New York University, majoring in sociology. So there you have it. Diane Carroll. Beautiful, I mean, absolutely stunningly beautiful woman. That's what I remember about her. And as well as, I mean, she was an actress, but she passes away today. Are you watching the baseball playoffs? The Dodgers played last night. Did you stay up and watch it?
Dodgers 6-0 last night.
So,
but I loved watching St. Louis beat the Atlanta Braves in the ninth inning. That was sweet.
How about that? Yeah, that kid, the center fielder for Atlanta, he's taking some shit for not running out of ball he hit, right? What a dumbass.
Oh, and you let one go by him. Or was that the right fielder when the...
No, that was the night before. Yeah, that ball took a bad hop on that guy. No, this is the center fielder from last night. He hit a ball, and he was watching it. And it hits off the wall, the right fielder then takes it and makes a great play, as you would expect in the playoffs, right? And he can't get to second base. You know, the next out would have got him to third, and the next out would have scored him. And instead of the game being tied in the ninth inning, 3-3, they would have won 4-3. And it's not the first time that has happened, and his teammates aren't real pleased with him. And he's got more talent than anybody on the team, which is what makes it really stupid.
I'll bet he sits on his ass tonight.
No, they're not going to sit him in the playoffs. Right? Can't. He's their best. He's one of their best players, but he just doesn't play. He's one of those guys. He just doesn't play hard. Here's an email. There must have been at least $1 million worth of gold necklaces on the field last night. I don't know how these guys can concentrate with all that bullshit flopping around their faces. Save it for the disco. Save it for the disco boys. We all know you're rich for now.
You don't have to wear it, and they've got these huge diamond earrings. Well, that's mainly for basketball and football players. But the gold chains that come up to the plate, they got to weigh 5 pounds on some of them. I mean, what is the point of that? Put it away in your locker. How can you run around with that thing jingling? That's just lame.
It is. It's even lamer when you screw the game up. Okay, that's what's that is what's really lame.
I don't know, if I was a manager, I'd tell them check your gold in the locker.
Yeah, you know, there used to be rules about some of that stuff, but
stupid.
Yeah. Dodger game was pretty close today. There starts in about 90 minutes, playoff baseball starts, and it'll go till midnight. If you're a baseball fan, the next few days where you have 4 baseball playoff games going on, on days when all 4 games play at the same time, it's awesome if you're a fan.
Yes, but then you get every day you get at least 2 games. So.
Yeah, until you get to the World Series. So, so if you're a baseball fan, hockey just started. So this is one of the cool times of the year when you have playoffs baseball, you have the NHL, you have, college and professional football. If you're a basketball fan, that's getting going. So, pretty cool. Pretty cool if you're a fan. Yep. Here's another email. Mac, speaking of game, my father used to soak all game in milk. Why did he do that? Does the chef understand?
Yes. Why? Milk, buttermilk, what it does, it, number one, it tenderizes the meat. Number two, if there's any gaminess in it, like venison or elk, it will take that gaminess flavor out. And that's why people do it.
Do you subscribe to it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. You just you pull it out, rinse it off, pat it dry, and then season it like you would a steak or a roast, and have at it your favorite cooking method.
How long do you soak it in milk?
at least overnight, as long as 24 hours.
At least overnight, as long as 24 hours. Okay, all right. That sounds easy. Yeah. And it works?
Yes, it does work.
Interesting. All right. Any other? When people tell me, I want to make you my venom, I just go, oh, God, please. Grandma's blood sausage and all that stuff. It's just like, oh, my God, my dog's going to run out of the house screaming, okay? But you say that it's good, so I have to.
If somebody gives you some game,
and
it's frozen, when you thaw it out, you slap it with butter, put it in a container and cover it with buttermilk or whole milk. Either way, I prefer buttermilk. There's a little more acid in there to break it down and tenderize it, and take the gaminess out. And then rinse it, pat it dry, and then season it up and treat yourself. Yeah. You'll like it, Mac.
All right. I'm not around as much game as I used to be up in North Dakota.
Up here everybody has game.
When I lived in North Dakota, I had people wanting to give it to me all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two women brought me a beaver they shot. A badger they shot at their lake house because I wanted I was talking about we needed to throw an animal at the new arena, the new hockey arena, because in the old arena there was animals flying on the ice all the time. In the new arena, there hadn't been an animal thrown in my recollection. So we were the University of North Dakota was playing Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a badger. And a badger's like a small dog, for God's sakes. Well,
yep. In the arena is a trick.
I'm on the air, and then somebody comes in the studio and says, "There's two women outside that want to talk to you." I was like, "What?" And these two women in a pickup truck, right?
Yeah.
And I walk outside. I'm like, "Hello." I'm like, "You guys gonna shoot me or something? Did I wrong somebody? What's going on?" And they're like, "No, we have something for you." And I'm like, "What?" And they said, "Well, come and look." Now, to me, I grew up on playgrounds in my life and outside. I didn't grow up inside my house. So when somebody says, "Come and look," that's always like, "Whoa, I'm not really sure that this is a good idea. It sounds like a trick to me." And you're going to get hit in the face with something. So I go over to the pickup truck. They open an ice chest, and here's a badger. I think there's actually two in there. And they said, "We brought you this." What the hell? So I can either confirm nor deny that badger landed on the ice at the University of North Dakota the following evening, but one did land. Yeah.
And the crowd went nuts.
This thing was gigantic, man. It looked like a small cow flying through the air. It had to get over the glass, right? It had to get snuck in, and then it had to get thrown over the glass in front of the Wisconsin players. And I'm proud to say that my number two son, Patrick Francis, was a part of that, was the principal person involved in that. And he was a little bit nervous.
Yeah, as he should be, but they throw gophers on the ice all the time when we used to play Minnesota.
Yeah.
Our most hated rival.
Yeah. And you can imagine a bunch of hillbillies like they have in North Dakota dressed well, and they go to the hockey game, and it's colder than shit outside, and you're playing your rival, and the place is going hysterical, and people start throwing small rodents on the ice. Oh, my God, it was the best.
I think I was at a game one time at the Ralph when I think two or three gophers hit the ice. We're under attack.
And the people of North Dakota and Northwest Minnesota that go to the games, they fucking love it. They love it. I'll tell you, talk about a great rivalry. That is one of college sports' great rivalries, North Dakota, Minnesota. North Dakota normally has about half the roster is Canadian. You go down there, and when the Gophers are beating you, they start chanting USA, USA, USA. Oh, my God. And, you know, it's just, but it's a great rivalry. But, yeah. Yeah, so, but, you know, animals like that, like, I don't get game or badgers or any kind of that shit brought to the house here, thank God. Yeah, that was quite the story. In fact, I have a picture of my son Patrick posed with the badger because I made him come out and practice throwing it. I said, hey, if you're going to get this thing over the glass, man, this thing is not light.
No.
So he's... I have a picture of him with this badger, and he's holding the badger next to his head, and he's smiling. So he's got the badger like sitting upright, and the badger, of course, is dead. And he's smiling.
And from solid,
he's smiling. Oh man, it was two women, right?
That's
hold on. Let me read you this. Okay, I just joined the I Spit My Coffee on the Keyboard group of All Marine Radio, Mac. You owe me a keyboard now. He said, that is hilarious. He said, and then the email goes on, I think it's a rural thing. Because the people that inhabit most of the Midwest all think that kind of shit's funny. And it goes on. Whenever somebody has a rival that is a small rodent, those things fly all over the Midwest.
Yep.
And
that's true.
The place always goes crazy. Here's another email. This is from Alabama. This is so you know they know their game in Alabama. Not just game, right? I also soak my chicken before I fry it. Delicious with some sriracha sauce in the buttermilk.
Yeah, that's true.
How about that? So soak your chicken in buttermilk too. Interesting.
It's like brining, but a little bit more intense with the buttermilk.
A little bit more intense.
Tenderizes it more. You will, when you brine it, you have salt and sugar in there, equal parts and water. But with buttermilk, that just, the enzymes in the buttermilk break down the chicken faster make it really juicy and moist, tender.
What's your favorite way to make chicken? If you had but one way to make it.
My favorite way is to roast the whole chicken. I usually take a chicken and cut some onion and quarter an orange and chop up some onion, big chunks, and stuff it in the cavity with some garlic cloves. Rubbed it first with a little olive oil and then salt and pepper inside. And then I take zest of orange.
Ooh.
And some fine herbs. They have this dried Herbes de Provence. There it has all kinds of lavender and tarragon and French herbs, and sprinkle that over the top outside, and with it, the bird's been rubbed with a little olive oil first, so everything sticks to it.
Got it.
And then roasted in a oven at about 325 for about an hour. Depends on the size of the bird.
What's the difference between roasting it and baking it? Is there any difference?
Well, I call it roasting. It's you're baking the oven. I have a convection oven. So I turn the oven on, convection oven, on bake. And what it does, it just makes the skin crisper. You know, two things you're not supposed to eat fat or chicken skin, and that's the best part.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're kidding. How can you not eat chickens?
I used to, when my mom, when she made her Rice Krispie chicken, I would tolerate the chicken meat just to eat the skin. The reason I'd have another piece of chicken was to eat the skin. It was the best. Still is the best.
Delicious.
But nobody eats chicken with skin on it anymore. Do you know that? I mean, if you serve it, your kids are like, what is this?
Skinless chicken breast.
We're going to eat it with the skin on? Oh, the skin's awesome. Like, okay, this is disgusting.
And what, the skin
releases
fat and gets in the meat, and then it's juicier. And then when the skin is crisp on the outside, you can't beat it.
Come on. Look, Kentucky Fried Chicken without the skin, are you even serious?
They wouldn't let you in.
They would tell you, get your ass out of here.
But a lot of people eat chicken without the skin.
Oh, yeah. Chick-fil-A, man. That's how they do it. No skin.
Chick-fil-A,
Chick-fil-A. They make a little money. They make a little money.
Chicken.
That is my kids' go-to. My kids' go-to restaurants, Chick-fil-A and what's the other one? Chick-fil-A and
Popeyes.
No. Chipotle.
Oh, Chipotle is great.
Yeah,
they great food.
Yeah, they had some problems with lettuce and stuff that wasn't very clean, and
a few years ago. And a couple of them got some customers sick, but I haven't heard anything in the news for about a year now.
Right. No, I think it's big.
They cleaned up their act, so to speak.
How do you insure against that? You just do business with reputable people that don't have that in their, you know, companies that don't have any of that in their history? As a restaurateur, right, you're receiving that food and preparing that food and putting it out. I mean, you're not growing it. Is there a secret to that?
I washed my lettuce when it came in, or spinach, anything like that. I had a three-tiered system, washing romaine and green leaf, which was mainly in my salad, and then head lettuce, take out the core of a head lettuce, iceberg lettuce, and run water in there, and then turn it upside down on a rack and let it drain.
Now, did you have to do all that manually, or is there like a produce washing machine that you can buy?
What? I did it all by manual. Like, say I got a head of romaine in. I took the stock. I had one sink. I had a triple sink. One was filled with warm water. One was with salt in it. The middle one was cold water. And the last one, the middle one had salt in it too, as a matter of fact. And the last one was just cold water. And I dunk it, each head, a couple of times, because critters get in there. This is the same with green leaf. And the warm water and the salt, they would come out. And then I do it again in the second rinse, and then in the third rinse, and then I put it on a rack upside down, with the stalk up, and then let it drain, and it also refreshes the lettuce, and it lasts longer. And then I would put it in tubs with the stalk part down and the leaves up, and then I'd put that in the walk-in with a damp cloth over it.
Wow.
And that's how we did our lettuce at Sanders, to avoid hurting people.
And so those, so it's not just dealing with somebody reputable. It's you can you. So does that prevent it, Kim? If you do that, does that guarantee to prevent it?
Yeah, it's that warm salt water rinse at first that gets everything loosened up.
Right.
Sometimes you'll get lettuce that's kind of muddy.
Right, still with dirt on it.
When they picked it, so you have to get rid of all that stuff. And you see where they shut fields down because there's feces in the spinach or the lettuce. And you got to rinse everything, man. If you buy in bulk like I did and buy in case lot, then you have to take your time. And personally, if I bought a loose head of romaine at home or at the grocery store, I still do the same. I have a double sink, and one is warm, and then the other one's cold. And
that's just
and do it the same way.
And that's just with your normal produce.
Yes, yes. You just don't know, you know, whether it's coming from California or Mexico. You just don't know. It could be coming from Central America somewhere or South America.
Truth be told, that those, you know, bad things, you know, happen on both sides of the border.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
So,
I mean, you just have to wash everything in today's supermarkets because they order from all over, you know. We have a grocery store that is our major grocery store, and they order from all over Mexico. You see the labels, the little stickers on them, product of Mexico, product of California, so on and so forth. And so, you know, you wash it. I wash my apples, because they spray this apples with pesticide. And you can eat the skin, but you better wash it first. And I wash my oranges if I'm going to grate an orange to get zest, or lemons or limes. You just rinse them. It's just precautions that we have to take today because not everything's organically grown like it used to be when we were kids.
What do you mean? They didn't grow shit when we were kids. It was organic.
Well, it was all they didn't have the pesticides they have now that kill everything, including people. If you don't rinse your stuff, that's all I'm saying.
Got it. So, bottom line is, rinse your stuff.
Yes, please wash your vegetables. Even if it's carrots in a bag or celery, you still wash them. You cut them up, rinse them, wash them, however you want to do it. That's my advice.
And what about, and so go over how you wash them again. I mean, so if you're going to bring home just stuff from the store, the supermarket, how do you wash that stuff, your apples and the stuff you just talked about?
Apples, you know, I have a salted sink with lukewarm salt water. And then one, I'll put some ice in there, so it's as cold as I can get it. The warm salt water takes any critters out or washes. It's easy for you, like apples. I'll do that. And then after the cold water, I wipe them with a paper towel.
Really?
To get any wax or pesticides off. You know, you don't think those apples are shiny in the store because they're just beautiful off the vine. No, they wax sprayed on them, for Christ's sakes, to make them look pretty. So pay attention to your veggies and your fruit, and know that if you're going to eat the skin, you better wash it first.
You know what? I don't wash anything. But I will. I will now.
just be on the safe side. You just don't know. You know, most of your stuff comes from the Central Valley around Bakersfield and stuff. Beautiful growing area, well irrigated, beautiful lettuce and the fruits and vegetables from all over California, man. You're in a heaven place for
but what you're talking about, I mean, you know, E. coli, I mean, that can be deadly. So, I mean, to take, 30 seconds, a minute to make sure that what you're consuming is clean is probably a very, very prudent thing. And certainly in the restaurant business, absolutely essential to, you know, again, to, you know, literally, I mean, if you've watched what it's done to Chipotle, which was kind of like the darling of, you know, it was new, clean food. Yada yada yada, and then all of a sudden they had more than one. It was one, I know, one up in Oregon. They had one outbreak there, and then you know if you kept going to Chipotle, you know, you could go in there. I mean, you could fire a cannon through those places. They were empty, and now they've come back a little bit. But I mean, huge impact to their business in terms of, you know, now people associate Chipotle with E. coli. And that's not something you tend to want when you open up a restaurant.
No, you just have to take care. I learned about washing my vegetables and produce when I worked in Switzerland. They wash everything over there, man.
Really?
It's country I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you can eat off their streets. It's so clean over there. But it was a good education for me. And when I got started Sanders, people said, "What are you doing?" I'm saying, I'm saving a lawsuit.
That's no bullshit either, right?
No, it's not, man. People... And now people want, so many people want something for nothing, and they'll slip on some grapes in a grocery store that they dropped on the floor and then sue the grocery store. But now they got smart and they've got cameras that photograph everything, you know, so yep. They'll play yep. the video back.
But,
see
but still companies would rather. Companies would rather settle with you than go to court, right? So, I mean, if somebody yeah. accuses you of that, you know, I just had somebody tell me a story that, you know, the other person was completely in the wrong. And
yeah.
and the insurance company settled with the person that was completely in the wrong was killed. And the insurance company settled rather than go to court.
That's right.
Over yeah. to the tune of over $250,000.
Yep.
That's amazing. The all right, here's another email. Mac, I was listening to you guys a few months ago, and you guys were talking about fish sticks. Does the chef have a recipe for doing something like fish sticks, baking them? You know, that's interesting. Do you have like a real recipe for using fish?
I have a real recipe, but if you're going to do fish sticks, you have to you got to roll them in flour.
Right.
Seasoned flour.
Well, hold on. First of all, what kind of fish do you use?
Usually a white fish, like cod or halibut, something like that. What you do is you size it a portion wise. They could be, little sunfish, you know, but about two bites once you get them filleted. You have three stations. You have a seasoned flour, salt, pepper, paprika, or maybe cayenne if you want it spicy. Then you have an egg wash. A couple of eggs, half a cup of milk, You whip that up really well till it's frothy. And then you have your breadcrumb. And it could be panko. It could be homemade French breadcrumbs, store-bought breadcrumbs, however you want. I've seen breadcrumbs that come in a can. So you put that in a dish. So you start out and you make sure your flour is all over your fish. And you shake it. Any excess, you shake it before you drop it into the egg wash. And then you make sure the egg covers all of the flour. And then you put it in the breadcrumb mixture. And then you have a sheet pan lined with parchment paper. And you lay it side by side, not on top of each other or touching each other, but in individual pieces. And then you put it in the fridge for a half an hour. So the breadcrumbs set up on the fish, so when you drop it in the oil or the deep fryer, people have little home deep fryers, you know, countertop ones, but usually Beth uses an electric fry pan with a half an inch of or a quarter inch of oil in there, and she'll put the fish in there and cook them on one side and then flip them over with a pair of tongs. And then you put them on a paper towel and serve them. And that's my recommendation for fish sticks.
So, and then in the seasoned flour, you would put either your seasoning in there or you would season after that you take them out of being fried.
Well, you know, after you take them out of the deep fryer, you could salt them if you so desire.
Right.
But, I put salt, pepper, white pepper, salt, a little bit of, either cayenne or paprika, and, you know, a heaping tablespoon of each one of those, and then you thoroughly mix your flour, with a wire whisk, so everything is incorporated and blended. So you see little flecks of the pepper, and you can use black pepper if you want. So you see little flecks of everything, so it's well blended. And then you dredge your fish in there, and then you take it to the egg wash and make sure that's all covered with egg and into your breadcrumb. Now, using panko breadcrumbs, that's a manufactured rice crumb, and they're real white if you've not seen panko breadcrumbs. And they have a tendency to last, take longer to get dark. So some people like that for that reason. If the fish is real thick, you're going to have to cook your fish a little bit longer, so I recommend panko breadcrumbs, and they're crunchier when you bite into them. So
it's
that's what I would do.
Homemade fish sticks. Here's another question for you. Hold on, let me find it. Mac, I've heard the chef talk about if you have the chance, buy steaks bone in. Why is that?
Flavor.
More flavor if the bone's still around?
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking for myself, I say a bone-in ribeye.
Yes.
I will take that, cut it the steak, and then I have a bone. Could be about 6 inches long. Maybe a little longer, depending on the size of the ribeye.
Got it.
And then I gnaw on it. I let nothing escape. The sweeter the meat, the closer the bone kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, really. And it'll still be the rarest there by the bone. And And there's always great little bites when you gnaw on the bone. And I'll do that with a bone-in pork chop. I gnaw on the bones, and then the dogs can have them. But, yeah.
After you.
I get back at the bone.
I always confess the things that I tell Kim I don't do, and then I do them, and they turn out great. But I thought of you, Colleen and I had dinner on Sunday night, and then we went and bought a ribeye steak and from the butcher shop, and so I cooked it, and then I wrapped it in foil and let it sit for 10 minutes. Now, I don't know what it is about that. Why does that make, other than it continues cooking, can you explain to me why that makes things better?
That's a good question, Mac. The reason you do that, the meat comes off the grill or your whatever you cook it on. And you wrap it in foil, that has a tendency to, the juices will, what's that?
Your opal.
Oh my God. I'll be damned.
What?
She just found, I had an earring with an opal in it, and she just, I lost it in bed, and she just found the damn opal. Nice. Anyway, you wrap up your steak. Okay?
Okay.
And what that does, yes, it does continue to cook a little bit, but if you cut it right after you take it off, all the juices will run out of the steak, and by the time you get 3 or 4 bites into your steak, you'll be chewing on, it'll be dry. And what wrapping it in foil keeps the juices in, they settle in the meat, and the temperature, cooks from the outside in, and that inside will pull in those juices, keep it from going out. You will still have a little bit of juice in the bottom of the foil when you open it up, but then you take that and you pour it over the steak, or you cut your portions off and then take a little bit of that and spread it around on the cut steak. That there'll still be a little bit of juice in the foil, but not as much as if you just cut into your steak and it runs all over the plate. Okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
I congratulate you for letting it rest, because it's tender all the way through, is it not?
Yeah, it is really amazing. It is juicier and I would say more noticeably more tender
yes.
throughout. Noticeably.
Yeah. It has a little tendency to mellow out and it's still warm,
yeah.
Still plenty hot enough. Just wrap it tight in the foil and you're good. You're good to go. Go ahead.
Is it one piece of foil, 2 pieces of foil? Is there a technique to that?
You just don't want the steak to poke through any foil.
Got it.
If it takes 2 pieces of foil, do it with 2 pieces. But Reynolds heavy-duty aluminum should be 1 piece, should be plenty. And you just lay it on the steak and then pull it up on the sides and fold it and crimp the ends. Fold them over and make sure it's tightly sealed. That's the key. You don't want to let any steam out of your steak, wrapped steak. And then you're in the front row.
No steam out of the steak. That's the key.
That's the key. You want it all to stay in. That helps the juices stay in the steak and everything, is copacetic.
We want the steamy steak.
Yeah, baby. We want a succulent steak.
We want a succulent, steamy steak.
right. Well, I always like to know the why behind the stuff that we do, cooking. Because
I love to talk about it.
Oh, I know you do. Because the because my deal always was, I've got this hot, beautiful steak. Now I'm going to let it get cold for 15 minutes. And I rejected that course of action.
Yeah. Well, you and I fought for years about that.
Oh, I denied it. I was in denial. And Kim would say, well, the steaks you love so much, so I make it my joint. That's the way I do it.
Yeah. And it works for you.
And my response was, oh, you don't think I can improve on what you do?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I was having none of that. I was having none of that bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what the hell? I can't improve on that. What am I, stupid? Come on.
I know what I'm doing. I'm back.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, everybody, that's the beautiful thing about growing up. You can learn stuff. So, here's another email. Mac, first of all, I really do enjoy the discussion about the why behind cooking. So far today, I've learned three whys that I really didn't have a good understanding about. I had heard about milk, never buttermilk, but milk with game. Now I understand that better. As far as washing produce, I learned the why behind the way Kim does it. I'm really happy about that. And now the bone-in rationale and the foil. I have to tell you that I've learned more from listening to this show about cooking than I think any other venue that I ever listened to cooking on. And so I just want to say thank you, but I have a quick question. This is about scrambled eggs. Does the chef make his with milk or without milk?
Here's what I do with scrambled eggs. There's two things I'm going to tell you. My grandmother taught me this the first time.
Okay. Let me just warn everybody. Kim's grandma was big time, right? When she's talking food, everybody listening.
Grandma would make three scrambled eggs for me, and she put salt, pepper, and paprika in the eggs and whip them up. And then she'd add about, 2 tablespoons of whipping cream. Not milk, but whipping cream. And then you'd whip them into the eggs before you cook them. And that makes them fluffy. And you don't overcook scrambled eggs, please. I call them soft scrambled eggs that you still have a little high pro glow, a little glistening egg. It's cooked, but it's kind of shiny. Now, if you're doing a buffet and you're having people over for a Sunday brunch and you're going to cook scrambled egg. Now, here's something I learned in a little diner in the Lower East Village. It was a little Jewish diner, and I had some scrambled eggs, and they took 1-inch pieces of cream cheese and cooked the scrambled eggs till they were still kind of runny, but they were starting to get solid. And then they dropped the chunks, 2 or 3 pieces of this cream cheese, and add them in while the eggs cook, and it kept them creamy. And if you're doing a buffet where you have a dozen people or half a dozen people going through, and you've got this big pan and you don't want the eggs to overcook, you add 1-inch squares of cream cheese and finish scrambling them, and that cream cheese will kind of melt, and then it'll make the eggs completely moist all the time they're sitting in the chafing dish. Now, that's a secret that not many people use, but I always used it, and people always said, geez, why are these so moist? And I, cream cheese. I didn't see any cream cheese in here. And I said, well, it's the secret.
It's
and
the
you
secret.
Might see a little piece of cream cheese had melt all the way. But that's something I learned, and it keeps them really moist.
Got it.
It's most excellent.
Most excellent. We like most excellent.
If you're doing a big batch, say you're scrambling a dozen eggs at once, and you scramble them up, and you have six of those 1-inch squares of cream cheese, about half an 8-ounce package of cream cheese. And there you go. And you'll have foolproof, succulent scrambled eggs.
We love that. We love that. We love that. Yeah. All right, man. Any big plans for the weekend?
Oh, my gosh. The Sioux start their hockey Saturday night with Manitoba. They'll crush them, of course.
Of course.
Like they always do.
Like they always
but
do.
They've got a lot of new players. We have a new hockey coach. Carl Goring, who was a All-American goalie for UND.
Wait.
A goalie coach.
Oh.
And you know Carl. And he's back now. He was, he's the third coach on the bench with Brad what's his name?
Dane?
Dane Jackson. Thank you, Mike.
Right.
And I'm excited to see, they've got two good goalies, but they need to be better. That's what wins championships, in college hockey. Any hockey is a great goalie. And hopefully he can, turn the trick with these goalies. We've got three goalies in camp, redshirted freshman, a junior, and a sophomore. So, hopefully, we're going to have a game this year.
All right. Well, no, the University of North Dakota, it's, they're the social events of the year. And, so you see everybody that you, a lot of people that you know. So they're a ton of fun. And the hockey team's one of the best historically in the NCAA, although they've had a couple down years, which is, really a function of they get really good players. And, you know, if they don't stay for 2 years, which they kind of plan, you know, but some of these guys are so good, they're one and done and off to the NHL to go make a pretty decent living. So when that happens, you can't replace those guys as easily. So anyway, but awful lot of fun and good people too associated with the hockey program. Always a lot of fun. So anyway, all right, man. Well, look, you have a great weekend. Thank you very much as always. And, I will keep you abreast of my travel plans, but
I have a question about when you come up here.
Yeah.
Are you going to do your talk?
With
Glamour Girls?
I don't know. I don't know. I have not heard back from the people that I originally spoke to. So
Chester Frick is a great venue.
Well, I know, but I haven't heard back, and so I was really excited because I thought that I would either do it on Friday, I could fly and do it on Friday, or I could go down to Mankato and then drive back up and do it either on Tuesday or Wednesday. But I have to be back here because I'm doing it on Thursday, Friday here in Southern California. So, but I had initial conversations and then I've texted them and haven't even got a response. So I'm a little disappointed.
I was very much looking forward to that.
So anyway, but we'll see, Kim. We'll see. You never know. Hopefully, I'll keep my fingers crossed, and maybe there's a reason. And then if not, then
come with me. Can't wait for that.
All right. I will keep you posted.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend, everyone.
And there you have it, Paul Kimball Holmes.
That's right. Right here on All Marine Radio. You're home for it. The that'll do it on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. If you're just tuning in, don't touch the dial. I get on my soapbox a little bit in the first hour. I'm not really sure what I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about the future. That's right, about the future. I start talking about China. Talk about how exciting next week is, right? Next week's going to be cool. You're going to meet a Marine who you've heard me talk about a little bit, and who's a post-traumatic winner, who's saving other people's lives now. And you're going to hear his story. And pretty cool. He's off to do great things in his life. So, long way from where I met him. But you're going to meet him. You're also going to hear General Zinni talk about, do another installment of On Discipline. But, and then at the end of it, General Van Riper is going to come on. And the reason, my intellectual inspiration for doing that, is General Zinni talks about doing professional education in Okinawa when he was CO of the 9th Marines. And he talked about the that he brought these guys in one night. General Van Riper was one of them. Colonel Ripley, John Ripley from the Donghua Bridge, who passed away here a couple years ago. Or in the last couple years, I believe. And I want to say Bill Fike is the other guy. These guys are all, if you hear Zinni talk about it, shit pot full of Silver Stars, Navy Crosses, great guys, smart guys, tough guys. And the lieutenants asked them questions, and it blew the lieutenant's mind that they didn't agree, and they all answered in different ways. And so it is with our discussion about discipline. What I like is, what you're going to hear General Zinni's take on discipline. And it differs a little bit from General Van Riper's. So what I want to do is play it for General Van Riper and then let General Van Riper respond. In the spirit of General Zinni's combat concepts, which I love. I still export that thing. So you're going to hear another great installment of On Discipline. And Zinni's, he's the best, man. I love that guy. And he's very gracious to me and to All Marine Radio. And I, thoroughly enjoyed doing it. And, but I thought, you know, I don't want to let him off the hook that easy. I want to give General Van Riper a chance to respond because of something that General Zinni says in the interview. So you'll hear General Van Riper's thoughts too. So, and again, my goal is to present the complete thought, right? To present the complete thought in an articulate way. So, on a Friday, All Marine Radio. Have a great weekend. If you're a baseball fan, 50 minutes until first pitch in Houston, which should be an awesome game. Justin Verlander going for the Astros, who has been the dominant pitcher in Major League Baseball. Although, I will tell you what. If you didn't watch that Walker Buehler kid pitch for the Dodgers last night, holy smokes, man. That guy's tough. So, great day of baseball coming up. And then tomorrow I head down to Camp Pendleton, do a little post-traumatic winning, and meet a Marine at Camp Pendleton who's a disciple, and he's been changing lives down there. So I get a chance to meet him, so I'm fired up about that as well. So, anyway. Do us all a favor. Change somebody's life. That's right. I'm talking to you. Change somebody's life. And you all know how to do it. Have a great one on a Friday. All Marine Radio is over and out.